Hey, you guys, and welcome to our Mandalorian Roundtable for The Passenger, Chapter 10, Season 2, The Mandalorian. We've got Star Wars on TV, and other things are going well as well. So I hope everyone is having a great day around the world, and we've got some great people to talk with around the world about this fantastic show and a controversial episode. It's having a mixed response, so it will be fun to let's work through that. And guys, if you're watching, you know, you could be listening to this on the podcast. You can click the link, go to YouTube and watch this live, as you're going to get blown away. We have got a smorgasbord of people to join us from the Sith list. We have got Les. How you doing, buddy? Les Gonzalez.
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I am. I'm super good. Love the Captain America t-shirt.
It's fitting.
It's fitting.
It's fitting for today.
You know, because you've got that on, I should mention I've got my Yodi Hawk t-shirt on. I don't like plugs at all, merchandise and stuff, but I just thought it was fair that we both mention our t-shirts. Our buddy joining us from the valley, it's Laura Siracuel. How you doing?
Hi, good. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so happy. I've been having so much fun today. It's been so great. Yes. I'm so happy.
Do you know you've got the Yoda ears on?
This is how I look.
Oh, okay, great.
This is my everyday celebration.
We have got from Nerdist and riding all over the place, we've got Riley Silverman. How are you doing, Riley?
I'm good. I'm also from the Valley. So Laura and I are as close as we can be safely currently.
Yeah, you can't call that. You're Ohio to me.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you're going to go by 10 years ago, I guess, do you still say Australia or do you say Hollywood? Like, where do you live right now? Like,
well, I think when I talk, it gives it away. I try to go
Hollywood. Got it.
I'll tell you something, Riley. Even when I lived in Melbourne, I tried to approach it with a Hollywood attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know. I've known you for a while. I know that very well. Yeah.
You would be the person in all of this that I've known for the longest.
Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, it's true. And both of us not from California, but we also first met in California, but neither one of us lived here yet at the time. There's a whole lot going on there.
This is friendship ring theory.
We lived our own prequel series where we actually managed to make our loops. Like, we tied our story together before our stories took off in a way that actually, like, Lucas couldn't have written it more Lucas-y than how we became friends and how we met. So there we go.
This is just a funny thing I always remember from when we had dinner when we met for the first time.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you said you were going to the Dresden, and I said I was just getting into stand-up, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go, apparently Dane Cook's on, I'm going to go check him out at the Laugh Factory, and you were sort of just like, yeah, good luck with that, have fun. Like, it was very, oh my God, and our next guest has just done a runner. So we were
You brought up Dane Cook, and he's like, I can't stand here for any of this. So I just, no, I want nothing to do with it.
Get back for your intro. You look like you're at a comedy club. So,
it's funny, like, the dog was at the door, like, and I couldn't have that going
Bloody
on.
Goat head, James, from the Weekly Planet, Mr. Sunday Movies, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's a pretty good day. I mean, depending on, you know, where you are specifically in the world. But yeah, feeling good. Feeling really good.
And how you feel about CGI spiders?
I'm okay with it, to be honest. Look, I'm sure we'll get into it. We're probably going to talk about that, I'd imagine, at some point. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm on board.
We'll have to. I'm not sure how you feel about it. Our next guest from the Imperial Senate podcast, it's our buddy, Claire Stribling. How you doing, Claire?
Yay. Oh, just having the most darn tootinest day out there. Doing great.
Darn tootin'. You're what I love about America, Claire.
Thank you. I try. I am America. That's right.
And
cheers.
D, down the bottom, our two other favorite things about America, we have got, they're all grown up, they're non-animated, it's Beavis and Butthead, they're here from Kessel Run Transmissions, it is Noah Van Outlaw, Star Wars Insider, and Corey Van Dyke. How are you guys doing?
Hey, man. I'm excited to talk about some Baby Yoda, you know, some Mando. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Excellent. And our chat is absolutely blistering. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're having a great night all around the world. Now, I don't want to drop this on, and someone, possibly Corey, needs to turn down his headphones again. But I don't want to hit you this up early, but I've got a conspiracy theory. Lucasfilm, Disney have conspired with the liberal media for this big smokescreen event today to cover up that Baby Yoda, Yoju if you will, is eating eggs from an endangered species. I am flabbergasted. This is my... the bruising of the Baby Yoda brand from this consumption, as Laura, I think, is eating an egg on air right now. So with the ears on, you're doing a reenactment. I'm triggered, Laura. I am triggered.
It's actually a third egg she's eaten. We all tried to stop her, but she just kept going for it.
Yeah.
That's actually a point of contention that we can get into as we go through the episode. I don't think that the frog lady is an endangered species. I don't think she's saying the last of my kind. It's just the last of her family line. Like, I think my issue is less the endangered species and more the fact that it's a sentient species. Like, you get into a really gray area, like when you talk about like hunting and livestock and farm animals, but like when you have a creature that wears clothing and can reprogram a droid to speak to you, that's when it's like maybe a little creepy. You're eating its eggs. That's like my hang up on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to get into the specifics of this, but let's get into the specifics of this because they're not fertilized, which I think adds a different element to it. Not that this is a conversation that I should be having. But what
about people? Not to get into the pro-life, pro-choice discussion about the deal.
Unless you have a frog alien womb, you should not talk about frog alien womb.
There's two. I've got two theories that I just want to get these out of the way up top. Now, the first one is. Like, there's two ways this story can go. Like, it could just be that Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will, just eats eggs. Just says, hey, here's your family. I'm eating it. Whatever. I can force it up. Whatever. Let it go. I kind of feel like that's no good. Two ways it could go. One that I thought about watching the episode is that Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will, is going to be infested with one of those spiders that he ate because they reenacted the one of the opening scenes of Alien. What I've got
that is not a chest burster spider.
Are you seriously thinking that anybody went to Disney and pitched, hey, we're going to do an episode where a chest burster pops out of your number one toy, out of the toy that you sell the most of?
That
we're
going to make Christmas.
We're going to put children through the trauma of watching a spider burst through his chest.
I'm not saying it's going to burst out of the chest, but it may make him sick. It may make him sick.
Don't you dare. Still, the other alternative story to this is Baby Yoda opens the best dang brunch restaurant in the galaxy with Dexter Jetster. or the Dexter Jetster line, if you will. I mean, I think that's really the story of this episode.
Yeah, you got to try the eggs and spiders. They're the best. you can't just go to egg and spider.
The last time I went there, they didn't give me enough spider. It was no good. I like to dip it in the yolk.
Eggs are delicious.
Delicious green yolk.
So I record these. I record myself watching to do these rapid fire reaction things. So I've got this is my reaction to watching this go down.
Oh, the eggs are swimming. Oh, keep that thing away from the eggs. Don't let him gather them up.
These eggs are getting handled very haphazardly. This is bad egg management. No! No! Gith. Rage. I'm very worried. I'm concerned. But here's the other theory, and this was brought up. It got handed on off to me secondhand from Hawes on our we did a little Patreon exclusive phone call after we watched The Mandalorian to go rah, 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 rah. And one of our listeners, Tracy Moon, he had a theory that I love. I worry it's not going to happen, but that Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will, was consuming the eggs to keep them safe in his tummy, and at a later date he'll go.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And
another great feature of the Disney toy.
And they'll be fertilized? Like, I don't understand. Like,
oh, he's just keeping them safe. He's keeping them. Do you know there's a toy? There's some sort of Funko or Pez of Yoju and the egg thing. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh, what a delightful little toy. And now I'm like, what a horrifying scenario.
See, I thought that when I saw him just like suck the whole thing. But I was like, oh, you know what? In the end, he's going to bring it out and she's going to have the eggs, you know, like with her. Like, oh, you gave me the last of my eggs. But then when he ate the spider egg, like cracked it open and ate it, I was like, no, he ate that. No, he ate all of that.
And that like little like mischievous look he gives at the end when he's like, make sure she's not looking much. No way.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm worried about. The lizard mum's going to find out and just like, like she's going to turn lizard feral and start like, and it's those big dead baby Yoda black eyes are going to get.
How's he
going to
sound?
Out.
Do it again. Do that one more time.
I just think it's funny how the mother frog didn't notice that, you know, half her children have been eaten.
Yeah.
How's Corey? Oh, she's a bad mom. She deserves it. eat her eggs.
I will say, nothing if not consistent, Baby Yoda, he loves eating frogs. That's just like his big. So yeah. For him, the second a giant frog showed up, it's like when you on Easter, when you get the giant like chocolate bunny, you're like, oh my God, this is my birthday. I must be 51 today, you know?
Because the very first thing when we first see or we first fully get introduced to Baby Yoda, the very first thing in his mouth is a frog. He's just literally stuffing that frog down his throat. And he searches for delicacies and he found the eggs. And that's his like version of caviar right there. So
I don't know if anyone's questioning this, but when does Mando feed Baby Yoda? I've never seen him feed Baby Yoda. So it's like,
he's hungry, yeah.
He needs to just feed him. Yes. Like, or else he won't be eating all these eggs.
Spoken like a true new mum, Laura. Mm. That's why when I watch it now, like when he's like walking and the Yoju's in a little tram, like meters behind, I'm like, no, you can't just let him walk around like a bar and stuff. Bad Yoju management. Shout out to Sex Wedge with the super chat. And I don't know if this is going to make you feel comfortable or not, James, but Sex Wedge loves the mustache.
No, I'm here for that. I appreciate any compliments coming my way.
All right, well, so, you heard it here first. Yeah. James is up for a sex wedge. That's excellent. And Daniel Patrick is in the super chat saying, cheating Jimmy, why are you wearing glasses, you big nerd?
This is someone I know in my real life, and I just say, fuck you. That's what I wouldn't say that to anybody. You know, I know this person personally.
All right.
Is this someone you cheated on? Because that would be a really awful thing to find out in the middle. Cheating Jimmy?
I just hope your lovely wife, Claire, does not see this message that you've left in the chat. Thanks, Sex Wedge.
And that was before they made the donation. So, yeah.
All right, so let's run around the pot. We'll start with you, Les. When you think of this episode, what are your what's your sort of your initial thoughts? What are your quick just like
well, this okay. So it was filler, but it was still pretty good. It was still pretty cool. It was worth it. Again, Baby Yoda is just an eating machine, and he needs to be taught, hey, that is, you're eating something that you probably shouldn't be touching that, but obviously he's going to get into mischief, and it's okay to have a little bit of mischief as a baby and as a kid growing up.
Excellent. There's nothing wrong with a bit of mischief. I agree. Laura, as a mother, how did you feel?
I honestly was, at first I was like, okay, he's protecting the eggs, probably like sucking it up. But after I realized, no, he's actually just devouring, the frog lady's eggs. I was kind of like, oh no, like this is like conflicting. I kind of knew Disney was going to make him a dick, but like, cause I was thinking like, oh man, we're going to buy all this Baby Yoda stuff and we're going to find out that Baby Yoda's like a jerk. And then I was like, oh, this proves it. And it, I don't know. I kind of felt like, oh, she was trying to protect her little eggs. But at the same time, why didn't she just have them?
Ah, well, you're in Corey's court of,
No, but I am kind of against it because Baby Yoda needs to be disciplined.
Okay. Well, I'm going to follow you around. I'm going to follow you around the valley. The moment your eyes are off your child, I'm eating her, all right? Riley, what was your initial takeaway?
The baby eating egg thing wasn't as much of a problem for me as like I made fun of it earlier, but like it's weird. I don't think they intended it to be as dark as it reads. I think that's one of those things where like I think it got lost in translation somewhere. A friend of mine recently described Baby Yoda as having asshole cat energy, and that's the exact level that I bring to it. I think that Baby Yoda like he's a toddler, right? He's supposed to be, he can't speak yet. He's very mischievous. Like, I don't have children of my own, but I know how hard it is to keep things out of kids' mouths. So I don't know if he's necessarily like evil because he's eating these eggs, or he just doesn't understand quite yet. Like, no, this is like a thing you shouldn't be eating. And he just is very one track mind, which I think kids of that level of development like often are. And I know cats definitely are. So it didn't bother me as much as I think that like for humor, I make fun of it. But in reality, it was like, I think it was a thing they were trying to go for a gag, and they didn't realize that it reads as dark as it actually is. So,
yeah, I'm just like, no, not again, no,
yeah.
And then just like we had these like from these Danish chocolates they had licorice in the middle, and we had a tub of them clear, a lot like that tub actually, and I'd eat one like once a week, and then I was like, oh, I'll just have another one. And then they go down to where, and then when my wife found the container of these chocolates that we can't get any more of, and there's only four left, I'm just like, ha ha ha, they were good. And I felt like that's what the Mando was going to hand back to Lizard Frog Mum, was just like a container with like 3.5 eggs.
Yeah. So, as far as the episode overall, though, like Les said, I think I also agree that it felt kind of fillery, which kind of surprised me for the second episode of the season, which is also kind of like, honestly, I felt the same way about last episode too. Is that it felt more like a mid-season episode than a premiere episode, and so I think it's an interesting choice they're making with the stakes of these episodes early on in the season. Cause I definitely think a lot of people, myself included, thought we would come in early with some Darksaber and stuff like that. So the fact that we haven't gotten those, we've kind of gotten more episodes that felt like the middle of last season is a really interesting decision to make. And, you know, we're getting some fun little drops like the Boba stuff. And then also like Filoni having the cameo this week, which was amazing and kind of cool to see. And like, you know, the kind of nod to last season. So we're seeing the extension of plot elements coming into it as well, with the X-Wing pilots referencing the prison breakout. So there is sort of an idea, like a ripple effect of things that are happening in this part of the universe now. So that is interesting to see. So I'm excited to see where it goes. But overall, just a fun kind of adventure-y episode that ultimately didn't really move things forward, just kind of was literally just getting, it was a transitional episode, literally transitioning from one planet to another as the story goes on.
Yeah, I'm going to save it, but we are going to come to verbal blows after over that Filoni cameo. I'm going to save it.
We probably won't, to be honest, but go ahead and bring it up. Yeah, I'll probably just not agree with you, whatever you say.
I thought it was a pretty good move last week to have, you know, like an episode that anyone could jump into. And I think when you watch the whole season, this episode, you know, it'll fit in, but it's brave to do it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Because we've got those two dudes down the bottom of the screen that are just like, give me storyline reveals. I want to see the Tano. James, what was your initial takeout?
Yeah, look, I can't really argue with any of that in terms of filler because, it's literally an A to B. After the first episode was very much like reestablishing the universe and I'm big on the screen. Sorry, it's freaking me out. But, but that being said, there was a lot of things that I really did like in it. I think we get a little bit more of the Mandalorian personality, and it always surprises me when they manage to do that, when you can't actually see this guy's face at all, you know, with the jetpack, and he does a little shrug. Like,
James, if you feel a bit weird being there by yourself, I'll put a friend next to you. There you go. There's Toro.
Yeah, so basically... Yeah, so I like the little moment that the jetpack was quite good. I think also learning about his standing in the universe in terms of like what's going on with him and the new system of government and where he stands with that, and he's kind of in the clear. Also, I think the spider scene was great. Like, I think it was genuinely tense, and he's kind of picking them off as he's making his way back to the ship. I thought it was really terrific. But look again. It wasn't like I didn't love it, because I feel like at this point we only get so many of these episodes a year. You know what I mean? Let's move it along a bit.
Yeah.
Right, Toro?
Yeah.
Whereas this?
Look, this is the crazy thing about the internet, James. And I know you've had a wild time in your journey on the internet. Like, one moment you're hugging Toro Calican, the next minute you're hugging no one and you're Corey.
Not how it works. Never.
I'm gonna dab.
That's amazing. My goodness.
I always come to the defense of the filler episode moniker, because I believe, and it's, and my prophecy is coming true, that by the end of season two, there'll be no filler episodes in season one. It's all filtering back. They're laying seeds. We're going to have, you know, we've already had, you know, episode five of last season, you know, was the filler episode per se, but it also put down the first hint of Boba Fett, which is now in this season. And I don't know if they're going to come back to it this season. If they don't come back to it this season, it'll be super frustrated. But I'll also be like, sweet flex that you are telling like a well-planned out story over, you know, three seasons. Claire, what was your take, buddy?
All right. So I'm going to be in slight disagreement with the filler argument. While it didn't advance the plot probably as much as even I would have liked, it definitely gave us more character development and more depth to the Mando as a parent. It taught him a few lessons. It, well, didn't teach Baby Yoda a dang thing. still keeps eating eggs at the end of it. But I'm like, my favorite thing in Star Wars is weird Star Wars. Like, Salacious Crumb Queen over here. I live for the bizarre. We had Dr. Mandible in this episode. We had this gorgeous frog queen who will forever be like the Duchess I hail fealty to for her abilities to just be fabulous, reprogram robots, and like just be overall a badass. Like, I'm just saying, this was a super weird episode. It gave us a lot about Mando, last episode, he was the one who's like, hey, let's bring everybody together, but we still have so many biases. For example, he's like, hey, Tuskens are people too. And now he's like, okay, frog lady, I don't speak frog. So even he is learning lessons along the way and growing and I think that obviously next episode, Frog Husband, which, by the way, I'm not ready for that romantic reuniting moment.
Well, it's going to be years. Like Lost fans. It's going to be like Rose and Bernard.
Oh, I'm not ready. I will. I'm just, I can't even form. I can't describe how much that moment is going to mean to me. To see them reunited once again and start their family. Ooh, it's beautiful. But no, I love Weird Star Wars, and that's what this was Weird Star Wars, fabulous puppetry, fabulous character acting by, cannot remember her name, but the same actress who played Queel. We had incredible, like, I hate spiders. Like, I just, very arachnophobic. Spider put me in the hospital. I've got a medical excuse. And so that wasn't my favorite thing, but I will give all of the respect to the CGI and the design of that entire action sequence was terrifying, gave me nightmares. So I enjoyed this episode, and I'm excited to see, you know, what this adventure, and it taught us a little bit about the state of where the New Republic is right now. And they're like, hey, we know that you have a couple warrants out, but we're just going to blah, 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 blah. We're not really going to pay attention to that right now, which is a very interesting and telling thing about the lawlessness of the time we're in. Just saying, I enjoyed this episode. I don't think it's filler. I think it's just filled with weirdness and gorgeous frog queens who find hot tubs and have like the most major chill vibe on any planet.
Hot tubs, Noah. That was my favorite part of the whole episode.
How quickly does the frog queen get dressed? That's what I was impressed with.
That is impressive. Yeah. I was like, that is like Broadway musical quick change. Like, incredible. Tony Award to Frog Queen.
I was like, leapfrog.
Yes, the leapfrog.
I was cheering for that.
And then I'm just like, wow, that's like, a badass.
She's like, you are too slow for me, Mando. Bye.
The Mando should have done the same. They should have both like galloped down.
Oh, if only.
Or leapfrog each other.
Yes. When she was in the tub, I was like, get dressed. Oh, that was fun.
Maybe she used that tongue.
She heard you steal.
That's probably what happened. She like tongue lashed it to her and then like anime jumped into it.
We've got David Wilson in the super chat. He says, personally love the episode. It's Star Wars being weird. And that's it at its best. I think the promise of what's to come hurt people's expectations again. Also, Dr. Mandible, Therm, Scissor Punch, team up when?
Yes.
Claire, can you answer that question? When is that team up happening?
I can tell you exactly when it's going to happen, and it's going to be in my dreams tonight. And I can't wait.
Maybe filler is the wrong word. Maybe like episodic might be more what I'm going for. I think like Mandalorian is a much more episodic show than I think we've been trained to watch in the last couple of years of television.
Definitely.
So I don't think like when I say filler, I didn't mean to imply like I thought it was like less than because it was filler. I think it's just this show does operate on a much more standalone episode with like little threads that go throughout as opposed to like one driving saga, which I think Star Wars has trained us to look for. So I think that's what's interesting about this take on it. So,
like Star Wars and also like the streaming binge model in general.
Yeah.
It's like it's definitely trained our minds to be like, but story now, please. Thank you.
Riley, when one of those spiders bursts through Yoju's chest, you're not going to be able to call it filler. It's going to be very essential to the whole bursting storyline.
No, we'll call it spiller.
Please stay. Noah and Corey, what were your initial takeaways? I'm sure it was...
I'm gonna go first.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I enjoyed it. I did. I had fun with it. It wasn't what I was expecting, and I think that immediately, like my immediate reaction was like, made me, you know, a little more disappointed because, like Steel said earlier, like I'm ready to get the show going. I mean, I feel like we've waited a long time to find out, you know, what's going on with Baby Yoda. Why does Moff Gideon want Baby Yoda? You know, all all this stuff that we're in, and you know, how's Ahsoka going to play into it or whatever. So that was at first. I was like, I really wanted to see that. But after I thought about it for a little bit, I'm fine with it, and it's still probably like a bottom three episode of The Mandalorian to me. But that's not saying a lot because I like pretty much every episode except for one. I'm not going to say which one because I'll get harassed on this show. But, you know, I liked it. But I am really excited for next week's because I think we're going to actually move forward in the story more. Get out of here. Get out of here. I want Corey. Where's Corey? There we go.
Yeah.
Bring Corey up here. We need two Coreys. Right. Oh, hey, buddy. Good to see you.
Hey, Corey. How would you like being Corey? Oh, I missed it. Like, dickhead. There we go.
Yeah, that's great. Great being you twice. Yeah, that's what everyone wants.
I would love two Coreys. That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Corey, what are your initial thoughts, buddy?
Well, initial thoughts? When I first saw it, I was kind of like, you know, okay. I think the Baby Yoda moments in it are by far the best thing about the episode. I like that it established the relationship between Din and Baby Yoda a lot more. It shows how much he really cares for Baby Yoda now. There's so many. Well, actually, I think the opening sequence of this episode is some of the best for Mando. It was very clever the way they wrote that in with the jetpack and all of that. I echo what a lot of people have already said. I wouldn't call it filler, but it's definitely, I think, halted the story a lot. I know, like, one thing I've heard a lot this weekend people say is that, it should always, there can be episodes where, you know, they're just doing a side mission or whatnot. But, I mean, personally, for 8 episodes, I was hoping it would move a little faster. But again, we still have 6 episodes left, so I'm sure they're all going to be great. But yeah, I thought it was slow. I thought Frog Lady was okay. And
Corey let me down here.
I know. I'm sorry. After giving it some time too, I definitely think it's a fun episode. You know, it has elements of horror in it. Those spiders are scary, and there's some great shots in it. So, and I'm glad Dave Filoni was in it. That was cool.
Hey, yeah. That's my new favorite.
And Appa,
Trapper Wolf.
And Appa, Appa was in it from Appa. King's Convenience.
Yeah, King's Convenience. Yeah.
Appa. Paul.
So we opened back on Tatooine. Now, Corey, what do we have to say about this return to Tatooine? Are you thinking of anything that a buddy might have told you?
Yeah, I genuinely was the whole time.
All right, let's go to the tape. Do you think we'll see a bit of Tatooine at the start? I reckon we will, because he's going to give that steak to Amy Sedaris.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I actually was thinking that.
The last episode ended on Tatooine. You're a fortune teller. Congratulations.
Oh, you dick. Hey, Noah. So which teaser or trailer did Ahsoka appear in again? Hey, mine might be softballs, but at least they make it to the catcher, you know what I'm saying?
You got me. Congratulations.
Dude, you got owned right now.
Hey,
you and all of Reddit.
We both got owned, so I don't know what you're laughing about.
this opening little scene here that, if I can work out how to get this back up, there's so many screens now with everyone, and now you've all been made so little on this. All you can see on me is my t-shirt, which is a good promo. But I thought this opening thing with the jetpack, and is that a little Tito that we saw?
Yes,
oh, that was so cute walking.
I always like a rope across something to vibe.
I was very like, is the Mandalorian really going to get taken down with the same panache as the Wile E. Coyote? Like, it just was
weird. Yeah.
Such a cartoon way to take him down, and I was really surprised he fell for it.
That's big Ewok energy.
Yeah.
And something else, Baby Yoda is extremely durable.
Ejected
from a pouch with no seatbelt of any type. That is not a car seat. That is just a pouch. To be ejected at that speed, and it just like get up and make baby noises is superhero at the very, very least.
Sure.
You throw a real baby. That's not a.
Yeah, I was going to say you could probably run that scenario a few times with real babies, not what they're going to do.
James, I don't think now's the time to join MythBusters on this one. But I'm trying to get this. Oh wait, I just missed it. I'm trying to get this clip up without violating copyright. But one of my favorite little laughs. There we go. Look at him. This is what you get for messing with Yoju.
Yeah,
loved it. Yeah.
Are you ready? Bang. Yes. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Anyone else have any tidbits on that opening bit?
I did feel something in my ovaries when Baby Yoda was Baby Yoda was released. He ran up to Mando like a little baby because my kid does it all the time. So I'm kind of like, oh, my ovaries.
And then we end up back in the cantina, Star Wars reference. We've got the old Prey Manus man that is that the same creature that was in A New Hope and then sort of got cut out? Yeah. Mm.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Yeah, I had that thought. I can't. Is it an ant or a praying mantis? Because my brother said something along those lines.
It's Dr. Mandible.
I'm not sure. It might be a little mixture of both.
Is that a name that you've made up, Claire? Or is that really his name?
First of all, Pelimoto calls him Dr. Mandible, and I had the subtitles on. And when he started doing his little noise, it said Dr. Mandible makes insect noises. I'm like, his name's Dr. Mandible. Sorry, I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. And then they go have dinner. Meat. It's all about the meat, Corey. Get back here so you can hear me talk about the meat.
Made me want to be back at Batuu so badly because it reminded me of walking into Ronto Roasters and there's the giant piece of Ronto meat that's hooking. Oh, I was like, I don't think I've been that like homesick for Batuu since everything happened. But I was like, God, I want to go back. That made me so sad that I can't be at it right now.
Homesick for Batuu.
Yeah.
I love it.
That is epic. And then we get introduced to Frog Mama herself. Yay. And I was instantly just, I've got Frog Mama's back. I'm with her, her big eyes, her gills.
It was
everything
funny
about it.
Because in our reaction,
her tympanic membranes. Oh,
when we thank you, Claire. When we were finding out about, you know, there's this person that knows Andy's passenger. This passenger who knows where these Mandalorians are. We were like, what? Me and Gil, we were like, was it Boba Fett? Is it Sasha Banks? Is it Bo-Katan?
Yeah.
And we're sitting there like really ready. And then just Frog Lady peeks around the corner.
Yeah.
And we went,
really?
Okay.
Hey, listen. I'm going to add weight to my spider in the stomach theory.
Oh my gosh.
What if the passenger isn't referring to Frog Lady?
So wait. That would lay waste to your other theory about, or someone else's theory about him saving the eggs. Because wouldn't that spider?
Oh yeah, no. Yeah,
eggs.
I'm just trying
to survive.
I'm going with either theory to redeem Yoju's.
Is it just gobbling everything?
Yeah, I've only got one child, but I imagine if I did have a few, I wouldn't be up for someone just eating one of them.
You'd actually count them and know how many are in there. Yeah, I would certainly hope so, as a good parent would do.
That's because we're that's never mind. I was about to go all biology on y'all, but there are strategists. A bunch of them aren't going to make it anyway.
And then this shot, which I thought he was going to have some sort of E.T. flower connection.
Oh, me too. Totally. Yeah. I did not expect him just to eat them, which I felt dumb about.
But he had more of a drunk me chicken nugget connection.
The sticky nuggies return.
I know.
Oh,
Froggy nuggies.
What do you think the difference between the frogs from the last season are and the actual species frog?
Frog, yeah, that's what I was wondering. I guess the other little ones aren't called frogs. Yeah.
Well, obviously, it's their evolution of their brains that separates them from their primate type. The evolution of, you know, speech and other things.
Yeah.
If you guys really want to go there.
I thought Corey was talking about
the glasses on for a reason tonight.
I thought Corey wanted to know how that tastes different.
No.
Oh, that too. You know, that leads me to believe that what if Yoda, as he gets older, keeps his taste for frogs and starts hunting them down as grown-ups? Has them on a turbine spit.
This is horrifying.
This is horrifying, yeah.
Oh my God. Like, you would think that Mando would be like, no, you can't have it. And, like, he would just be watching Yoda the whole time to make sure he doesn't get more. And instead he goes, how much did you eat? I'll be, like, smacking that kid. That was me.
And no parent's going to let a toddler. Kind of on... No, go ahead. Go ahead, Riley.
I would say it's kind of on Frog Lady for having a baby container that doesn't have a lock or anything on it that a child can't get into easily. Like, put a child safety lock on your unfertilized frog baby container.
Yeah. You've got to press down the lid and twist it. Motion.
It's like if you've had a drink bottle spill in your bag or whatever, you know what I mean? You've got to really, like, get it on that. You know?
Mm.
And he still – Din should have smacked – most parents, right, toddlers get to put something in their mouth. You smack their hand and knock it out of their hand, right? He was just like, and he just
– Yeah.
Well, if you had a baby who could force choke you, you might also not smack its hand to get –
You know what? That's a valid point.
It's like that that Treehouse of Horror episode with Bart. Where he could do whatever he wanted. It was like a
Twilight Zone thing.
It was like a Twilight Zone cover. Yeah, it was a reprise.
The Mummy thing. Yeah.
And then he's cruising along. They're all having a nap. And then we get the X-Wings.
This was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Now, I thought it was a ripping tribute to Han Solo with his sort of trying to get around giving him the signal or whatever, just like the trying to pass the time sort of thing. I thought it was so cool. But when there was they went to the other channel and then it just had the shot on the X-Wings, I was just like, they're going to open them up. They're going to, and then it went, I was just like, oh, they opened them up.
Yeah.
What is that? What was that?
What are you watching, Corey? No,
it's not on our end. We heard it too.
Oh,
we don't get to blame this time.
Who's vacuuming? That is so odd.
Sorry, I spilled some frog eggs earlier, so I got to take it to him.
Is that someone's Roomba going by?
Yeah.
My egg thing was opening up, so it makes that noise when it opens up because then the wind resistance changes. So it's based, apparently.
Hey, it works. It works. Yeah. I really like this scene. I sort of like the return of Filoni in the middle of an episode. I'm just over Filoni'd. I'm just thinking about Filoni the whole time. Noah, what do you have to say, buddy?
You're not a fan of Filoni being in the episode? Is that what you're saying?
I'm a fan of him standing behind the camera going, you know, the Yoda and this, and you should do it. And George once told me, and like, that's what I'm up for. But just
this is the most hypocritical
cameo. Let's just get into the universe.
Steel just did the Star Wars version of Suge Knight calling out Puff Daddy back in the day at the Source of the
Lord.
If you don't want no producer all in the video, you come on over.
I know you said we'd come to blows over this, and I didn't think we would, but I will say, what is the point of being one of the caretakers of Star Wars if you can't put yourself in the cockpit of an X-Wing at least once?
No, I agree with you, Riley. At least once.
A season.
I didn't say
a season.
And apparently he had to be forced into it. He was trying to get on a plane and get away.
Yeah, I will say though, when he did show up, I was like, is he the only X-Wing pilot in the entire galaxy? Like, why have we seen him twice in two different situations? But that doesn't mean I didn't love it.
I would love
to see Dave Filoni in every episode. Yeah. Like, give it to me.
It's great.
And Steele, you really broke my heart on this one, and I will no longer sing Tomorrow Watch on Kessel Run Radio.
Ooh.
Damn. Ooh. Damn.
I will say Paul Sung Hyung Lee was the best part for me because yes! there's oozens in space. Another, and he just is the biggest Star Wars fan. And just the fact that he got to be on it, I was just so happy for him. I was just like, ah! I quickly put a cosplay together.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes. Awesome. I checked out his Twitter, maybe it was last night, and yeah, he was over the moon thrilled. So
Biggest Star Wars fan. Like, I gave him I gave him some Rose Tico stuff, and he was just like, this is the best thing ever. So I was just like, he comes to LA a lot to shoot stuff, and he always meets up with fans. So he's like one of the nicest actors, and and he also always wants to talk about Star Wars.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's definitely cool. Have on the show.
Incredible cosplays.
He makes amazing cosplays. And he was just like, everyone's like, did you bring your own cosplay? He goes, no, they gave me this one. So, it was so great just to like, just to have him, not only because he's a huge fan, but also representation, but he's also a huge, huge Star Wars fan. So it's like, and the whole time I was just like, oh, he's being such a bad, they made him a badass. So I was really happy. And they gave him a name and a Wikipedia. I was so happy. I was just like, oh.
Sick. Hey, I just got to make something clear. People are getting upset about this Filoni business. It's treason.
It is.
Oh, treason. No, absolutely. No, not, I mean.
All I'm saying is, I think he's a great creative, and there has to be more than like 3 X-Wing pilots left in the galaxy. And
there might not be, though. That might just be the state of the New Republic. Just like Cara Dune, not wanting to get back into the fold of things. I'm doing the Star Wars fan thing. I'm trying to make it make sense. Well, and
I think it works in that if it ties into last season, I feel like it kind of makes sense. Like, oh, I remember this thing happening at this thing.
Did happen. So it makes sense.
And it's not like it's a Tarantino thing where he makes himself also one of the really like the linchpin characters of the story. Like he's kind of just there while Appa is actually taking the control of everything. Yeah. So I thought I was calling him Appa now. No, I think his name was Charlie in the episode or
Carson.
It was a very Earth name for very back to the old Luke and Leia level of Star Wars.
What if there's like clones of Dave Filoni?
It's a whole thing. I want to see Deborah Chow and Rick Famuyiwa again. I want to see them show up too.
Yes.
Yeah.
You bring up a nice concept, Riley. Tarantino as an X-Wing pilot.
Oh God, no.
That would be.
I don't need that many N-words on Star Wars. So
we don't need any.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I should have said. Yes. Sorry.
So yeah, they end up crashing on not Ilum. Which was, I sort of had my hopes up for a bit of Ilum action, but it is the horrible spider planet. Now, I'm not a horror film person. I found this tremendously tense and like full on. I was like screaming at the screen, like, I don't know how they're going to get out of this. I don't know how they're going to get out of this. Little did I know, Filoni and his little pistol. But I can't say enough good things about the action and just the stakes building with, like, there's always a bigger spider, it would seem. But I'll cross to Noah. What did you think, Noah? Good to know, buddy. Good to know. But how did you go, Corey? Were you clinging on to Noah while you were watching this?
Yeah, you can see our reaction. I guess we're on transmissions where you can see.
No plots, buddy. No plots.
Noah, check out that reaction video only on Kestrel Transmissions YouTube page.
All right. You know, I don't like to belittle the show with plugs and stuff like that. So just if we can just keep it, you know. I know. Yeah.
I love the spiders. They were cool. I mean, the big one genuinely scared me a little bit. Like the minute you just see it attack the windshield, they're not like that.
I reckon it's the little ones you got to watch out for. Even the mid-size. It was no. Not a fan. How did you go, James?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was terrific. Like, I just incredibly tense. The fact that like and they're going into narrower and narrower spaces of the ship, and you know that they're running out of places to hide in, you know, and eventually they're sealed in the cockpit. Oh, love the flamethrower as well, by the way. Terrific stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they've got that last kind of place to hide, and then it's breaking through the windshield. It's terrific. Because mm-hmm. then on top of that, you're thinking, even if they do escape, the ship's fucked. There's no Ugnaught. I shouldn't swear on this. I apologize. There's no Ugnaught to fix it up. You know, Nick Nolte's not there. So, you know, it's... I loved it. That was obviously like the highlight of the episode. Yeah, for me. And it just looks so good. Like, I cannot get over how, as a TV show, how good it looks.
Oh my.
Trigger warning, please.
Oh. Just so...
Thank you, emotional support cat, for coming in right at the right time.
Many. How did you go, Claire?
Oh, it was horrible. No, I can admire how incredibly well done it was. The tension, like literally the cat showed up right on time. It was really, really tense and very well executed. But the spiders, man, I can't do spiders. I absolutely cannot do spiders. So, yeah, thank you for bringing those stills back up. Oops. Thank you for, I haven't watched the episode since, deliberately. Not even, yeah. Anyway, thank you, Count Dooku, for showing up right on time, man.
Very quick. He's a live view of your fear right now. It's a little Yoju.
Honestly, it's not good.
I Aerochick does bring up a good point. How many times is Mando going to crash the Razor Crest? There is some Star Wars ring theory in... I think it was the second episode. Was it the second episode or the third episode of the first series where the Razor Crest gets like pulled apart?
The second episode,
yeah.
They strip it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a bit of Mandalorian ring theory there with the storytelling. And then I've got to get this shot of the look at the mum. Look at the mum. This is how I feel like sometimes after a big day.
I was like, oh my God.
Me too, girl. Me too. Like,
I get it.
It's insane.
That's why I have two drinks.
Then we get old Dave Filoni coming back. Sorry. Let's get a pause on. Oh no, that's
well. Can we talk about the Jurassic Park feel when the giant spider comes down and then, bam, right on top of the windshield? And I mean, the window. And I'm like, oh, that's just perfect. That is just perfect.
That needs to win awards for that, like CGI.
Hell yeah!
It is insane how visually amazing it looks.
Yeah,
It's just stunning.
It has a budget of a film, you know. I think the entirety of the season, it looks like a film every single episode.
Mm. Now, Riley, do you think that your favorite actor in history? I'm just trying to work this out. Dave Filoni.
Yeah, of course.
Do you think he was walking around the set telling everyone what the three pens in his sleeve like do in the universe?
No, actually, no one knows what the three pens do, and that's actually a mystery. It's like the three seashells in Demolition Man. They just, you know, they have them, but if someone goes, "What are the three pens for?" They just go, "He doesn't know what the three pens are for," and they laugh at it and they walk away and they don't say
the massive inside joke.
Yeah,
I like that idea. I'm going to start using that. That is a good form of. And then he, gets away after. I did think the adding of calling back to the prisoner and saying that they knew that what he did, but he did the right thing, and that he caught Bill Burr. They should have mentioned Bill Burr. You caught Bill Burr for us. I love that.
Often. Thanks for that. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And also sort of putting, it was sort of weird because it was like a filler episode referencing another filler episode to two fillers make a full. Did you know that? That's the fandom rule. And then they fly off. And I do have to say, like, It was the ending, like last week, I just felt so like fulfilled and I enjoyed this one, but at the end I was sort of like, oh, okay, that was good, but I wasn't like I sort of thought it was going to have the like another, you know, like end credits Marvel scene. I've been Marvelized, but
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it, but in my head, I was calculating what my friends were going to think, and I was like, Robbo will love it. It's weird, my friend Robbo, and I was like, Corey will be there going, they didn't mention Ahsoka. What is going on with this? So let's go around. We'll start at the bottom, work the other way, and do our we're the only show to do this. We're gonna rank it out of 10, and I'm coming up with have I got this information here? Last episode averaged out over all the guests to an 8.3. So we'll see where this one hits. Corey, yeah. What are your final thoughts on the episode and your mark out of 10?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed, again, all the Baby Yoda parts. Him running up to Din was probably the cutest thing I've ever seen. The spider sequences were really cool. I could tell this was the Peyton Reed episode within the first 5 minutes. Seemed like it.
Yeah.
And then the opening sequence was really cool. Episode was fun, and I'm really excited to see where it goes from here. But out of 10 stars, I'd probably give it a 7.
A 7?
Yeah.
Did you just say a 7?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
This fucking guy. I'm sorry. This guy. You gave it like 4.
Oh, my.
Okay, it's a big jump. I'm going down now. 6.5. I give it a 6.5. Just for you saying that, it's a 6.5.
I wasn't expecting you to have it higher.
All right, we'll just leave them off to debate for a little bit.
6.5. Well, that's my...
So what are you going for, Corey? What's your last score? What are you going
6.5? Actually, I forgot I did write it on Twitter, 6.5, so I'll stick with that.
Yeah, all right. Can't disagree with yourself on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness, children. Wow. How many people lie down there and discipline you?
We have fun.
Between you two.
That's why I was in between when we were doing the reaction.
Yeah, right.
The post-episode.
Please come back, because... Every time.
Fall apart without me.
All right. We can maybe do we need an adult in there to sort this out or what? What's going on?
Yeah, that's not the one.
Gentlemen are fine. You guys are fine.
Okay. All right. Noah, hit us.
Yeah. I like I said, I enjoyed the episode. I'm gonna give it a 6.5 out of 10 as well. It's solid, but I'm ready to move on. Ready to move on. And no more spiders. But no more spiders, and please let's not do snakes either, because that's even worse.
Agreed.
Wait, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. Someone in the chat said, I'm Corey. Beanies are part of my religion.
Funny.
Oh, that's good.
Funny.
Thank you, Brandon, for that one. That's good.
That is good. Some comments super chat themselves. Claire? what was your wrap-up thoughts and score?
So, you know, is it in my top 5? Not even close. You know, it still is like towards the bottom. Sorry, Steel. It will beat Toro. I'm sorry. It's just something you're going to have to live with. But I love weird Star Wars. It brings me so much joy. I do wish that we had advanced the plot a little bit more. But it brought me my one true love, the Frog Queen. The more that I sit on it, the more that I enjoyed it, even though I was straight up terrified, which loses a few points in my book. I'm going to give it I'll stick to what I said yesterday on our podcast, 7.5 out of 10.
7.5. Noah, would you like to argue her down, or are you going to let that one slide?
I think I'll let it slide. I think
we're all right. Thank you.
James, you crazy goat man, what do you got?
Okay, so yeah, I thought it was tense. Like, there were some really funny moments. I think there was some really good subtle world building about the universe and like the state of the galaxy and how they've got their hands full with everything else, which makes me think, why did they even bother chasing him? Like, what a fight, doesn't matter. But look, it wasn't great. I'd put it like somewhere around a 7. But look, it's better than most TV. You know what I mean? You got to look at it in the context of like as an episode of The Mandalorian. Yeah, it's fine, but as an episode of television in general, pretty good. But there's also like,
how does it compare with an episode of Hannity, say?
Well, yeah, look, you know,
they're very similar. A little less weird, actually.
more bugs and insects on Hannity, maybe, but whatever.
Absolutely, yeah.
Keep going, James. Sorry.
Last thing I wanted to say was that there's only so much Star Wars we kind of get a year. So there's also the other side of it that's like, let's go, let's move it along. You know what I mean? Mm. Yeah, but that's I'm sure. Look, also,
yeah. Yeah, what? Yeah, I thought it was very well put.
No, yeah, it is. Oh, it is.
Thank you.
it's true.
Yeah. You're locking in that 7, James?
I'll lock it in, mate. I'll lock it in.
All right, nice. I sort of do think that I sort of get that people want it to go on, but I do think they've been pretty good at having those episodes have traces of other things. Like the way...
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm just a true believer because the way it all tied together, all those characters that he met along the way... to form that sweet team at the end of season one with 7 and 8. So I they've earned my trust. So,
yeah, you know, absolutely.
And as Riley can agree, once that chest bug thing comes out, it's all going to connect. What were your...
Played by Dave Filoni once it grows up bigger. That'll make it perfect.
A spider with a little cowboy hat.
Oh, my God.
Mandible.
Final thoughts and score, Riley.
I think I'm gonna give it a 6.5, and I started with 10 eggs, but then I ate some of them, so 6.5 is gonna be where I'm at. And I think I'm with Claire. I love weird Star Wars, and I like having a kind of a scary Star Wars. Like, that was fun. Like spiders. I'm not arachnophobe myself, but I did. There was enough of them that I felt like I had to put an alarm out for other people who are arachnophobes. Like, I actually had to like DM friends of mine who I know who have like crippling spirit fears of spiders and tell them like, hey, be careful before you watch. Like, I actually had a friend that I had to give time codes of like when the spiders appear and when they're gone so she could watch the episode. So that was like, that's how scary of an episode it was, which is kind of cool and fun. But I think to go with what James was saying, like, I think that, like I said, we only get so much Star Wars a year, and comparatively, I think I feel the same way about this as I do about when Clone Wars came back. And not that I didn't like the Bad Batch episodes or even the early Ahsoka episodes, like, they were fun, but it's like it felt like, wait, this is, we've been waiting for the show to come back, and this is what we're getting for weeks, and so. There's a certain point where it's like, please let me get to Ahsoka fighting Darth Maul, like, let me get to this. So But I also, now that I look back on Clone Wars season, that's what I think of, is Ahsoka fighting Darth Maul. So give me, if this season ends with its version of that lightsaber battle, then I won't remember that this episode felt to me like a sum of parts that didn't add up to a whole that I was super in love with. Because I love every weird detail about it, but I didn't feel it all came together into an overall episode that I thought was like, that was a really great episode of the show.
What did you think, Jerry? I also think that, you know, there've been two like pretty good episodes, and they haven't really spent like any storyline currency yet. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, once the storyline actually gets going, which presumably, you know, we're going to be on the ocean planet next week, and, you know, we all know that on the ocean planet, there's just plenty of Sasha Bankses going, like, looking around like that. So we should see some progression in the storyline. So I thought it was gutsy to do two in a row, but I feel like it's better than doing, you know, if this one was the sixth episode and it's like, oh, there's only two episodes left. What are you doing to me? Like, Laura, what your thoughts and score to wrap up?
Well, I love the director, Peyton. Peyton's like one of my favorite directors. So I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Because I love Ant-Man, but I didn't expect him to bring Ant-Man into this into this episode with a whole bunch of bugs. Even though the CGI was amazing, it scared me to death. Like, I was just like I was freaking out. And so that kind of took away points. It's like CGI 10, but then the fear of it was like, it brought it down. But it was beautifully shot. But I did enjoy the guest cameos. I did enjoy Filoni. I did enjoy Paul. So that was a plus. And I love Frog Lady. Frog Lady was so fun. She's so cute. I didn't like how they made Baby Yoda a jerk, but I'm hoping they will redeem him by making him vomit those eggs up. And it shows the bad parenting of Din. But I don't know. I just felt like I've been waiting for a long time for the plot to move, but there was no added benefit to this episode. Like, there's only like cues to the past episodes. It's like, yay, callback. But there was nothing that would be moving the plot forward. And I kind of need something at least at the end, be like, oh, look, there's Boba Fett or something, like, again, like the last episode. So I kind of need like for me to really enjoy something, I need it to kind of push the plot further. So I would give it a 6.
Okay. Hard but fair, Laura. I the end sort of was just we're floating in space. Like, it was quite a weird feeling to be left with at 1:05 in the morning or whenever it stopped. I'm just like, oh, okay, we're just floating there. Les, what have you got to bring us home?
Okay, so when we did our quick recap on the Sith list, we kind of all averaged it out. Sorry, gotta take it when I can. Take it when I can. You gave me the opportunity, hey.
So no, I don't put stuff like this up on the screen. I don't put that up. It belittles the whole
each other's platform backs of YouTube. We're just scratching each other's backs.
We are on this exquisite platform of YouTube, and you're just here trying to ruin it with. If everyone can just hit the button, and if there's ads on the screen, do click them as well, because they are there. Sorry, continue, Wes. Sorry,
it averaged out to about a 7. What I liked about it, first of all, at the very end, what was not Baby Yoda did not learn a lesson. Which is, you don't just pick anything up and put it in your mouth. Because he still ate an egg at the end of it all as he was sitting in Din's lap. So he, like, takes a look around. He's like a kid that sneaks the cookie and, like, keeps it in his pocket. And you look around and then real quick. So, and then I like the spiders, but is that the default when you need a villain or something to fight against in, like, most of the sci-fi kind of thing? But it's not a bad thing. It's just, when are we going to see, and maybe Star Wars can do this, when are we going to see like an actual anthropomorphized spider race? They're usually not. They're just they're out there on the dumb end of the spectrum. We got an ant this time around. We've had snakes that are reptilian. Like, just step those up. It was cool seeing X-Wings. That was actually really, really cool. And it was cool seeing him come back in the end and help save Din's skin there. It was about a 7 for me.
Excellent, except for the plug. Like, you know, it's just like I just don't know about these plugs. Like, it's very upsetting.
Shame.
I thought it was like gripping. It's not what we wanted, but I felt like it was super enjoyable, and the fact that they did it up top was great. I eating the last egg was sort of like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be interested to find out what they were hoping for. It's just like, didn't anyone watch this? Like, Iger watched the first season 3 times, or so he tells me. Right. He texts me all the time. And like, it just seemed like it was, I don't know. I just felt like they read the room wrong with definitely the final egg consumption. I'm very, very tender over these eggs. So I'm going to lock in a 7, which makes the combined, our average score last week was an 8.3. This one is a 7.7. So
wow.
That's where we're at. They can't all be barn burners. Star Wars
77 is a pretty good target to aim for.
So. Yes.
Mm-hmm. However, I give today a 10. So that's pretty good. That's my favorite score of the day. As we do go to wrap up, please, guys, I can't emphasize this enough. I don't want to get all less on everyone, but hey, let's just really respect the algorithm. Click all the buttons you can, except if it says unsubscribe, don't click that one, but just like, retweet, all that good stuff. Apparently, Sunday movies, you can tell me about this algorithm. We've got to respect it, yeah? Is that the deal?
Absolutely. It's all about the algorithm. You live or die by it, you know?
Does putting algorithm on the screen help the algorithm?
As far as I know, it doesn't hurt the algorithm, so that's good for the algorithm. If you're not hurting the algorithm, you're good. Okay. You're on the right track.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's let all the people, the good people on the internet, know where we can be tracked down to follow our content. Les, I'll let you start it up and we'll go around. You are a co-host on one of my favorite podcasts, The Sith List. Tell the good people all about it.
Well, we're 5 good friends that get hang out once a week, record your Week in Geek. So we try to cover everything from anime to Star Wars and all that in between. Marvel, DC, any shows. We also try to talk about other topics outside of that spectrum too, but that's pretty much what we do there on The Sith List.
Excellent. Laura?
You can find me. I write for a whole bunch of different places. Sometimes Nerdist too. So I write for a whole bunch of different places. I'll be tweeting about them on, you can find my handle here, elsiracle. I'm always on there and writing.
Excellent. I'm glad that you pointed to the wrong corner of your screen. I cannot do that. I can never point the right way. So I have to go, I'll point the opposite way to what I want to point at. And then I'm like, it's too much. So I felt you there, Laura. I felt you there.
I was walking it over.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that move. It was like,
subtle nuts.
I did it wrong. Oh, damn it.
Oh, no.
No, I was legit trying to do it right as well, which is even sadder. Riley, would you be able to point at your Twitter handle correctly?
Oh, that's there it is. Close as I can get. I was just too far off screen. That's
just showing off. I'm so jealous.
Well, no, see, it's easy for me because I know where my curtain is. So I just know, like, do the hand is not on the same side of the room where the curtain is. Okay. So.
Oh my God, you've checked. Now I'm just like away from the microphone. Oh!
Yeah.
Guys, it's going to be a huge week of pointing at things on the screen, on the hype chat.
There it is.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, if you've got more tips like that, then please let us know where we can find them, Riley. Where are you writing right now?
I am writing, as you mentioned earlier, for Nerdist. I also, like Laura, I write for a lot of sites. So I also write for Sci-Fi Fangirls, and I write for Fandom. And I also I write for a podcast on the Max Fun Network called Troubled Waters. And, of course, as you know, I run my Dave Filoni Fan Museum, where we discuss all of Filoni's acting work. So it's very specific fan museum. But so obviously check out, FiloniThespian.com for all that great work.
Wow. Well, once all this virus is cleared up, I hope to come around and visit your Flontorium where you've got all your framed hats and all that sort of good stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of different hats over the years, different eras, you know. So it's fun. It's fun to collection to have. And we've, you know, some collectors found someone in a dusty room somewhere in Arizona, and we got about six of those. So it's good.
Now, James, Mr. Yes. Sunday Movies, the Weekly Planet. They're your plugs. You can get That's to them. It. But first up, Braxton wants to know, are they real bricks?
No, this is like a wallpaper, because we were building a set so I could film the podcast, and then I just went, you know what? I don't want to do this. This is too hard. So this is
ah, so it's yeah. It's real but fake.
Yeah, it's real but fake. Yeah, so it's just it's like a stick-on kind of thing. Yeah.
Excellent. Hmm. Excellent.
It's, yeah, I figure it's better than a blank wall. If you don't mind, I'd like to plug a video I've got coming up in a few hours. It's called Clumsy Star Wars. This is the thumbnail.
See that. Oh, wait, sorry. I got so that I wanted to click on that so badly.
Oh my gosh. It's a supercut that Matt, one of my editors, put together, and it's really great. He did a really good job. I just went, "Can you do this?" And he went, "Yep," and he made a really cool thing.
Oh my god, that's cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that might ruin Star Wars. I don't know that I would handle with care with that video, because I've never noticed he doesn't have his lightsaber out in that. That's photoshopped. Yeah.
Oh no, that's photoshopped. Yeah, yeah.
No, but he doesn't actually have a lightsaber in that.
No,
scene.
No, absolutely not. No, that was okay. Weird. That was the.
Because I know there's that Luke one where he looks into it that you see all the time.
Yes, but there is. Yeah.
All right, I look forward to
it. I like the idea of that being the thing that would ruin Star Wars. Like, the videos posted on the internet about Star Wars,
yeah,
that's the one that will finally bring it down.
Yeah, that's right. It's not that it went too woke and Kathleen Kennedy got fired or isn't fired or whatever. Yeah.
Wow. It ends with a lot of hot fire. Stribs.
What's up?
My buddy, let the good people know where they can track you down.
So you can find me on the Imperial Senate podcast. You can find all of our stuff at imperialsenatepodcast.com. If you want to hear us talking about ridiculous things in Star Wars, like Watt Tambor playing with his nipples, that's what we're here for. All of the really hard-hitting questions that you've been asking about Star Wars. So you can follow us on Twitter at ImSenatePod, and I'm on Twitter at CStribs.
Excellent. Ah, good pointing. That's nice. Noah and Corey, where can we track you down, guys?
Where can they track you down, Corey?
Yeah, well, you can follow me at Corey_Wolfpack on Twitter and Instagram. And then obviously, yeah, follow us at KR Transmissions on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. You can find our content there. And then also on Thursdays here with Steel. When I feel like coming onto the show.
Yes, Corey Thursdays. No. What an amazing show.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter at Outlaw Noah and on Instagram at The Outlaw Noah and everything Corey said as well, except not on Thursdays with Steel because I don't get invited to it.
Yet you're on every episode. you do a little pop in. You're like this. You're very inspired by the Corey floating head. All right, you guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Now, Corey and Noah, you're our little scoopers down the bottom. You're down there in the sewers of YouTube. What do you expect we see next week?
Well, I can tell you
exactly what we're going to see.
Exactly what we see next week. There's an episode description out already for it.
Yeah, so, okay, but there is. We're gonna go to that water planet.
Yeah, and well, I'll read the episode description.
Bump into
for that one.
I bump into Sasha
Banks. There, here's what it says. It says the Mandalorian braves high seas and meets unexpected allies.
So Sasha Banks will be showing up for sure, and also we'll see Frog Husband, and he's blue.
Yes! He's the unexpected ally.
He's the unexpected ally.
Oh, like Frog Husband confirmed. He's going
to be in the trailer.
He's in the trailer.
Ah,
that's what I noticed. Like that shot where they're it's like behind them and they're walking on the boat. You see Frog Lady with the canister, and the next where there's Blue Frog Man.
Do you think he'll notice that half his children were eaten?
He's like, why are a few missing? And she's like, what are you talking about? And the Baby Yoda, that's when he
barks. You wouldn't count them beforehand. It's all good.
His name will be Frog Lord.
Oh my god!
I'll be calling him Frog Lord for sure.
Dreaming too big.
the Frog Daddy's like, all right, wife's here, and I get to fertilize 28 eggs. Oh.
Steel, you just completely solidified the term Frog Daddy, for next week.
Yes, that's it.
Daddy. I'm gonna tweet that everywhere.
There it is. It's over.
God. Excellent. There was one bit of the show where when they were sitting down to go to sleep towards the start, I was like, how funny it would be if Frog Mama took off her mask and it was Tamira Morrison, like there to like stab the Mandalorian. Like, what a twist. Did not see that coming. Hey, everyone in the chat, I really appreciate you checking it out. Thanks to our patrons. If you do want to lower yourself to promotion, you can get a sticker pack, including this one, all the Steel Wars stickers, for the first month that you do a $5 patron commitment. You can cancel straight away. Just get one through. I'll send you a bunch of stickers. You get a month of content, and we'll feel good about ourselves. And then we won't have to plug on the show. We won't have to lower ourselves, because you guys know how much I hate it. You guys just know how much I hate it. But thanks, everyone. I had a really good time. It was a good end to a pretty great day. So check everyone out. Leave a comment if you're watching this afterwards. And hey, may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.